Dean Richards now with entertainment news. And in spite of the nice weather, people did venture inside and go to the movie theaters, didn't they, Dean?
Yes, they did. And they went to see The Dragon again. There have been three How to Train Your Dragon animated movies over the past 15 years. The live-action remake came out this past Friday and was a solid number one. It earned $83 million for the opening weekend, $114 million if you count worldwide totals. This makes it the seventh highest grossing remake worldwide, the eighth here in the U.S. It's got a nearly perfect cinema score on social media, 98%. On Rotten Tomatoes, I gave it a Dean's List Day. I thought it was a really, really good motion picture. After that, Lilo and Stitch dropped to the number two spot with $15.5 million. The romance comedy Materialists came in number three. Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning hanging in there, number four. And that John Wick spinoff, Ballerina, takes the number five spot at the box office. So, you know, people took Dad out for Father's Day movies, I guess.
Yeah. Well, this is just in time for your summer beach vacation. Jaws is going to be streaming, isn't it?
I was shocked when I learned that none of the Jaws movies had ever been streaming, had never been on any of the streaming platforms until yesterday. The first Jaws movie came out 50 years ago this week, and it made its debut on the Peacock platform yesterday. So Jaws 2 is also streaming now. Jaws 3, that came out in 1983, and Jaws the Revenge came out in 1987. And, you know, remember what a phenomena this was when these movies first came out?
People were scared.
I can't believe it's 50 years. You know, it sounds so weird to say that because it just seems like yesterday that, you know, you went to see this at the movie theater. Everybody was terrified and screaming and climbing, you know, over each other. It was a great date movie because, you know, one or the other of you in the date would be like hiding in the other one because it was so scary. But
it wasn't fun for beach resorts, though.
No, not good for business at beach resorts whatsoever. But, you know, started off the trend of these disaster movies. And now, so they're going to be streaming if you want to see any of the Jaws movies. And really, who wouldn't want to sit down and enjoy a nice movie about sharks eating people? they're going to be streaming on Peacock. And then in August, for about a month, they're going to put the Jaws movies back in theaters again up on big screen. They're going to, you know, do some digital restoration, so you'll be able to see it as Steven Spielberg intended for you to see on big screen.
Yeah, it was the first of those summer blockbusters. It started a trend, didn't it?
It did, yeah. And, you know, super fun. I remember so clearly. I saw it at the Ford City Theater. I remember being so scared during the movie, and that's all we talked about for weeks afterwards.
A lot of popcorn spilling. And it is weird that it hasn't been streaming. Was it some sort of legal hang-up?
I guess so. I never heard the backstory of all that.
Interesting.
But usually when something like that happens, it is, you know, licensing, maybe some music licensing, that iconic music. From Jaws, you know, the very simple Jaws theme with the two notes. You know, I don't know, maybe somebody was holding off on licensing rights for that.
What is the story on the Jonas Brothers concert?
Well, I think this was a case of tickets not selling the way that they thought they were going to sell. There are about a half a dozen shows from the Jonas Brothers Living the Dream tour that were supposed to be in huge arenas like Wrigley Field. They were set to perform there, and then over the weekend they announced that in six major cities they were downgrading the performances to smaller venues. So if you were a Jonas Brothers ticket holder for Wrigley Field, That show now has been moved to the Credit Union One Amphitheater out in Tinley Park. It's still going to be on August 26th. If you're holding tickets, you've got to return those to point of purchase and repurchase new tickets for Tinley Park. And they say that they will give priority seating to people who held tickets for Wrigley Field. But, you know, if you can't sell out the venue. Mm. So, you know, they decided to move it to someplace a little more manageable, I guess.
Dean, why in the world would Gunsmoke be trending on social media?
Why wouldn't it? It's such a fantastic show. It is, you know, with all the popularity of Westerns, you know, at the movies, on TV series, Yellowstone, there is a hunger right now for good old-fashioned Westerns. And they don't come much more good, old, or fashioned than Matt Dillon in Gunsmoke. That was a staple in our house when we were growing up. The whole house better be quiet so Dad could watch his Marshall Dillon and Chester and Festus and Miss Kitty, the whole gang. Reruns of the program have made it top 10 in the Nielsen ratings twice this year. 650 million minutes of the show have already been viewed on a variety of platforms. There are 635 episodes of Gunsmoke. Occasionally I'll watch one, you know, I'll come across it and I'll stop and watch for a few minutes. They're really well done.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
It's black and white, but, you know, that sort of adds to the authenticity of it, or, you know, something, for, you know, for being an old show like that.
And every now and then you'll spot Burt Reynolds or a well-known actor.
Yeah,
in there,
William Shatner, yeah. Did a couple of episodes. Kim Darby did. Burt Reynolds was on Gunsmoke a couple of times. But those main characters, they're all passed away now. James Arness as Matt Dillon, and was it Dennis Weaver?
Mm-hmm.
Who was Chester?
Oh, yeah.
The assistant, Festus. I can't remember the actor's name. Doc?
Ken Curtis was Festus. I only know that because that was my father's favorite.
Oh, okay. He was your favorite character?
Yeah, that was his favorite.
He was a good character,
Festus,
on that show. Yeah, there was some
I think Burt Reynolds became a regular after a while.
Yeah. Anyway, it's, you know, everything that's old is new again.
I guess so. Talk about Arnold.
This was one of the most fun interviews that I've done in a long time. He's got his series FUBAR, which for Father's Day dropped. The season 2 of FUBAR dropped on Netflix over the weekend, in which he plays a CIA agent who's getting ready to retire, but is pulled back in again because his daughter is involved in something which requires his dad's special skills. Not overly original. We've seen that before. But it's fun to watch Arnold Schwarzenegger do it, because he is sort of the king of these kinds of things. And in the season 2, he is teamed up with Carrie Ann Moss, who is, you know, also quite the formidable action movie star from the Matrix movie series. So they're teamed up with that. We sat down and we talked with them not only about the series, but about Arnold Schwarzenegger's son, who is, you know, he's the popular Schwarzenegger right now, just coming off of the latest season of White Lotus. But Arnold and Carrie Ann both talked about the very first scene that they filmed together. Talk to me a little bit about you two getting together for this. This is, you know, a bit of a legendary coupling. Carrie Ann, what do you think?
Oh, I feel so lucky that I got to be a part of FUBAR season 2, and that I got to work with Arnold and get to know him, become, you know, friends, and just have all these incredibly juicy moments on screen together, and just to go toe to toe, and the scenes that were written for us were just delicious to play. They were so fun, so outrageous at times. You know, my opening moment of the character, the reveal of Greta, you know, walking up to Arnold and smacking his behind was when I read it on the page.
It was not smacking. There was not smacking. Okay, let's just get the record straight. She grabbed it.
She grabbed my
That's how the first scene started.
Yeah.
So let's just say it the way it is.
Yeah. So that, you know, reading that on the page and then actually executing it, it was so fun.
I have to tell you that the first take that we did, I broke out laughing. Because I was supposed to be kind of like in shock and look at her kind of like, where did you come from? You know, in my mind that's going on, kind of, where did you come from? I thought you're dead. You know, and all of a sudden I see her in front of me, so I was supposed to act out that. Then all of a sudden she comes to me and she grabs my ass. I had to kind of like, I didn't expect that.
Arnold, it's like you can't open a newspaper or a magazine or a website without seeing your son, Patrick, featured, you know, someplace on there. He is the hottest thing in America right now. I wonder what kind of advice did you give him going into all of this?
I can take absolutely no credit for that. I mean, Patrick worked his way up, and he was just really interested in acting. The only credit I can take is that I took my kids always to the set. So when I was filming, especially in town, they came to the set. They sat in my motorhome. They were doing their homework in the afternoon there. I had them picked up from the school to come there with their friends. Then they sat there in my motorhome and did the homework and everything like that, did their studying. And then when I went inside the soundstage, then they came with me and they watched me blow up some buildings or blowing up some people or something like that. And then they went back again and did their homework. So I think that he got inspired when he watched that and wanted to also do the same thing. And I think it had also something to do with that, how much they hated when I became governor. Because they immediately kind of rebelled and they said to me, says, Dad, why did you do that? I mean, you ruined the entire family. I mean, it's like we have to go up there now to Sacramento and sit around a bunch of idiots with their suits on. I mean, this is not fun. I mean, it was much more fun on a movie set than all this. So they were really depressed over this whole thing. So I think that had something to do with it. Patrick says, well, I'm going to go and get in the movie business myself.
Yeah, I love that he calls them idiots wearing the suits.
Nice. And let the record show, it wasn't smacking, it was grabbing.
That was grabbing.
Thank you.
It was definitely grabbing.
Talk to you tomorrow.